From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, February 12th. I'm Abby Larico. Farmers have always had to contend with unexpected weather, but a growing number say it's becoming more extreme and harder to predict.
With the climate change, we need to be more nimble.
The federal government created regional climate hubs more than a decade ago to help producers adapt to climate change. But now funding for the climate hubs is uncertain. How that could shape the way people experience the weather, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Frustrated residents gathered in South St. Louis last night to raise awareness about recovery delays following the May 16th tornado. St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravich was there.
Grassroots organizers led chants Wednesday night in the Cherokee Arts District during a rally for tornado-impacted residents. Speakers called on South St. Louis attendees to support North St. Louis residents who remain displaced by joining mutual aid groups and holding politicians accountable for recovery funding. Waikisha Atkins is a fellow with Action St. Louis who was displaced by the tornado. She says she got involved to challenge the narrative that North St. Louis residents are getting handouts.
I am hoping to just raise awareness for individuals that are in this area and also to have more allies in the fight.
Organizers urged attendees to protest recovery delays at an upcoming Board of Aldermen committee meeting on February 25th.
That was our Katie Gravich reporting. St. Louis Public Schools board members have voted to allow the district to seek bids for demolition of six long-vacant school buildings in North St. Louis. The move comes after several months of discussion and decades of vacancy. The board estimates each demolition will cost roughly $1 million and will take place this summer. That is, unless developers show interest in the buildings. Board member Brian Marston says the plans for the buildings are not set in stone and encouraged prospective developers to step forward.
They're not demolished yet, so if there's anybody out there who is interested in adaptive reuse of these buildings, please make yourself known.
Funds for each demolition will come from insurance payments received by the district. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page announced cuts to services provided by the Parks and Revenue Departments. STLPR Sarah Fenton reports Page blamed the cuts on constraints in the latest county budget and said more cuts are likely to be announced soon.
The county council last year passed a budget that was nearly $50 million short of what Page had asked for. The Parks Department will close two municipal pools this summer in North and South St. Louis County. And the Department of Revenue will close one office in Chesterfield and limit hours at three others. Page wanted to use money from the Rams Settlement Fund to float services while proposing a new online sales tax to voters.
It's my position that if we explain to the voters why we need these services, that they'll support it. But we won't know unless the council votes to put the use tax on the ballot and let the voters decide.
St. Louis County voters rejected such a sales tax measure in the past. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
A Republican congressman from St. Charles County says a partial government shutdown could happen this week over funding the Department of Homeland Security. Lawmakers need to get a budgetary bill to President Trump by Friday. And Missouri Congressman Bob Onder says failure could result in disruption to the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Transportation Security Administration. Onder says there are some areas where Republicans and Democrats can find agreement.
Most law enforcement authorities think that body cameras are probably a good idea. If anything, they tell law enforcement's side of the story.
Democrats want to place guardrails on agencies that enforce immigration laws following operations in Minnesota, Los Angeles, and Chicago. Onder was a guest on Politically Speaking. You can hear more of that conversation at stlpr.org or wherever you find podcasts like The Gateway. Missouri regulators have given Ameren approval to build a new natural gas and battery storage plant. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports the project will be built on the former Rush Island coal plant site in Jefferson County.
In filings, Ameren officials say the Big Hollow Energy Center is necessary in part because large load customers like data centers will need a lot more energy in the coming years. Ajay Arora, an Ameren vice president, wrote in January that the company is close to signing contracts for 2,000 megawatts of new electric load for large customers. That would equal 2.5 new gas plants like Big Hollow. The potential cost of the project is redacted in the application for approval. Ameren's filings show a similar natural gas plant being built in St. Louis County with a $900 million price tag. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
A new bill in the Illinois legislature would allow drivers with autism to order special license plates for their cars. Senate Bill 3904 would let the Illinois Secretary of State issue autism and neurodivergent license plates starting next year. The plates would be available to Illinois residents with autism as well as their parents. Advocates say the plates would be especially helpful for first responders during traffic stops or emergencies. People who apply would be required to submit paperwork from their doctor confirming the diagnosis. U.S. Department of Agriculture climate hubs across the country aim to better understand how climate change affects agriculture and forestry and to help people adapt. But the future of these hubs is uncertain, including the one that serves Missouri and Illinois. As Harvest Public Media's Rachel Kramer reports, that's as farmers across the country continue to experience more extreme and unpredictable weather.
It's 10 degrees at Heritage Hill Farm in central Iowa. Except for some garlic sprouts poking out of the ground, everything is brown and yellow this winter morning.
I'm so ready for the day where, like, things are greening up and we're actually, you know, able to start working in the soil again.
That's Jessica Krupika. She runs this diversified vegetable farm with her husband, their two boys, and some hired help. Even as they look forward to spring, Krupika says that season brings new challenges with heavier downpours and big temperature swings.
So that really impacts certain crops, especially like the lettuce, where the temperatures, if they get just too warm, they just get bitter. So you have a unmarketable crop.
Krupika says they're scaling back certain crops, shifting planting dates, and adding more greenhouses to stay profitable.
With the climate change, we need to be more nimble.
Over three quarters of Iowa farmers surveyed by Iowa State University say climate change is happening. And the USDA created regional climate hubs over a decade ago, in large part to help producers adapt. Julian Reyes was the national coordinator for the 11 hubs for several years.
There was a lot of great climate data, for example, that existed at NOAA and at NASA, but there needed to be an in-between, right, to translate what that meant for farmers, ranchers, and foresters. And that's where I think the climate hubs excelled the best.
Last year, the Trump administration proposed cutting funding for the hubs in its 2026 budget request. Congress slashed the funding, according to committee notes in November, but just how much the hubs will lose is unclear. A USDA spokesperson said budget allocations are still being formulated. Reyes says the hub's annual funding was roughly $30 million before he left in 2024.
They definitely punched above their weight. For the amount of funding that they received, they delivered benefits to not only the USDA, but farmers, ranchers, and foresters. I was going to say threefold. I would say even fourfold.
Illinois state climatologist Trent Ford says the climate hub in Ames, Iowa, makes it easier to share information and resources with researchers and crop advisors across eight states.
We know that weather and climate and the impacts that they cause don't stop it at state borders.
He says the hubs have also played an important role in supporting local research. For example, he says he struggled to get funding from national scientific groups to study how warming winters impact apple production in his state.
They'll come back and say, well, Illinois is not really a major apple producer compared to like Washington or Michigan, right? But what am I supposed to say then to the apple producers in Illinois who are trying to make a living growing apples?
Ford says the Midwest Climate Hub helped him find funding to start the research, which led to a larger report about climate change impacts on fruit trees and vineyards in the region. Lori Nowatsky is the former associate director of the Midwest Climate Hub. She says the expected funding cuts come on top of massive federal layoffs last year.
I think the more prominent impact to the climate hubs has been the effect on the ability to keep staff and hire new staff.
Nowatsky was one of tens of thousands of federal employees who were fired last February. She was rehired with temporary job security and ultimately took a deferred resignation offer. Nowatsky found a research job outside the USDA, but she worries about early career scientists and widespread federal cuts to other weather and climate research programs.
to me, the greatest concern there is that we are going to have less robust weather-related services for farmers moving forward. I think that's almost a given, considering the changes that have happened this year.
Nowatzki says farmers will continue to experience more extreme and unpredictable weather, but they may have fewer resources to plan for the future. I'm Rachel Kramer, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.